our place at the cross. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." This month and the next, we are reminded of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation movement that was started by Martin Luther and many others in his time or later on. He had come to the realization that the Catholic Church had many unscriptural practices. One of them was the issue of faith and works. Martin Luther discovered from the scriptures that we can only be saved by faith, and that works are the fruit and the result of faith in Christ, but we do not get saved through our works. So the motto was, only one faith, only one scripture, sola scriptura, and only one grace, and by grace only. I think this has often been made very complicated in our day and time, and even in the religious world and among Christians, that there's so much more to believe than these simple, basic truths. Of course, we can always learn, and we should learn to understand scriptures, but we have to see all the scriptures in this light. Sola scriptura. Sola gratia, which is grace. And only one faith. One faith. That is a simple foundation, and that is established by and through the cross of Jesus Christ. When we come to the cross, I want you to just picture yourself going to the cross and being there. What happens? The first thing that I would like to say is the cross is a place of confrontation. The people standing at the cross were confronted with some profound facts. These facts were Jesus of Nazareth truly was the living Son of God. Indisputable. Even the captain of the host of the Roman army was convinced of that. Although Jesus had the power to let more than 12 legions of angels come and defend him, he did not use this power because something much better and greater was causing and motivating him to willingly die on the cross. Not because of him, but because of us. That's what we get confronted with when we look at the cross. The confrontation that somebody innocent, the Lamb of God, was martyred and killed for you and for me. The people at the cross were stunned. Some were confronted by intense grief over the loss of their master and teacher. Some were stunned that this innocent miracle worker and preacher of righteousness was so brutally executed. And then they were also confronted with the forces of nature, the earthquake and the solar eclipse that happened on Good Friday. But they were also confronted with the guilt and shame of their sinful hearts. The harsh reality that sin must be punished. that God's righteousness must be satisfied in that sin must be punished. There is a price, a high price for sin that God's righteousness demands. For he is a holy God. And to be welcomed into his presence, we cannot come, we cannot be and remain in our sins. That's a confrontation that happens at the cross. Do we embrace to be confronted at the cross with these facts? The most uncomfortable facts that could come our way. But this is not all. The cross is more than a place of a confrontation. We're confronted with the love and mercy of God. We're confronted with bewilderment and wonderment. Why, Lord? Why did you do this for me? I deserve to be there. But you are there in my place. Why? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that everyone that would believe in him would not die, not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why. So the gospel of the cross is very confronting concerning the mercy and love of God. Why would God have such mercy on me? And that Jesus, the only Son of God, would freely give his life for our reconciliation with the Father. Second thing that we meet at the cross is a place of brokenness. The question why was on many people's minds. Why the cross? Why this pain and this suffering? Why this brutality? Is there no other way? The brokenness in our hearts when we're lingering at the cross is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and he paid the price. So the cross is a place of brokenness. It includes helplessness. We feel totally helpless. We wish we could help Jesus, but no. It's because of our helplessness he is there. We couldn't even help ourselves. That's why he's there. We couldn't save ourselves. That's why he hangs on the cross. And this is very humbling to realize. And I hope that we feel a sense of brokenness as we spend time at the cross. There was nothing anyone could do to change what was happening on the cross on Good Friday. And unless you and I come to this brokenness, we will never quite understand and experience the work of Christ for our salvation, because it requires on our part that we allow ourselves to be broken, to be overwhelmed, to be overcome by this great truth that God loved us so much that he died for us on the cross. Our guilt became his guilt. Our sin and condemnation became his. So that we would go free. That's brokenness. In Isaiah 57 verse 15 we read, "For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on high and holy, on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." To be contrite means to be broken, to have an inner brokenness. To declare personal bankruptcy, not financially, but in my heart. And say, "Lord, I totally depend on your cross and on your blood that you shed there. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You know why brokenness is so necessary? It's because brokenness helps us to love God, and to love others. We need that brokenness. We need that brokenness that just kicks out all the pride and all the egotism and all this stuff that people deal with, this egocentric type of attitude, all this selfishness. All of that goes out when brokenness comes in, and we invite God to love us. We invite God to heal us. We invite God to forgive us so that we can love him back. Luke chapter 7, verse 38, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet and her tears and kept wiping them with her hair. This is the woman that came to Jesus and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. The reason Jesus said to this woman, your sins are forgiven, was because she was broken. She no longer cared what other people thought. And this is one thing that you and I need to come to in our lives. We don't care what other people think. We need to get right with God. I need to have this, what Jesus has for me, because I thirst for what Jesus has, which is eternal life. The cross, thirdly, is a place of healing. Confrontation, brokenness, and healing. There can be no healing unless there's brokenness. We got to confess our sins to God. We got to be broken about our wrongs before God. Otherwise, there's no healing. I like the scripture in Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. That was Jesus' motto. That was why he came into this world. God the Lord, he declares in Isaiah 66, but to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. That brokenness at the cross is needed that we receive from God the forgiveness and the power that we need. The cross brings healing from our sins. Some may say, well, I don't need healing, I need forgiveness. Well, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness includes healing of our souls, because everyone that sins and lives in sin is sin sick. Sin is a disease. And Jesus told the Pharisees they couldn't see their sinfulness, they couldn't see their dishonesty, they couldn't see beyond themselves. They were so enamored with their religion and what they believed and what they thought was right that they couldn't embrace what God had for them. If they would just let go of their own righteousness. And this is why Jesus says, they that are well have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And he spoke of the sin. There is a balm in Gilead, says the songwriter, for the sin-sick soul. Then there's healing at the cross from sorrow. It's interesting that there were a lot of people there at the cross that were filled with sorrow because Jesus was dying. The The Bible says that we all have sinned. And most of us have been sinned against. Sin brings guilt, and sorrow brings shame and sadness. The devastating work of sin has brought untold sorrow and calamity upon the human race. A father abandons his family, leaving his wife and children to cope, and vice versa. The tearing up of families, the tearing up of society, of everything that's good, it's happening. It's a disease. But you and I, we can go to the cross and we can become insulated from the sin disease of this world, not isolated, but insulated because of forgiveness. Jesus heals broken hearts. It is his joy that if someone comes to him brokenhearted and in repentance and in godly sorrow, it is his joy to bear our griefs and our sorrows and our sins upon him. The cross is also a place of physical healing. Let's never forget that. Jesus died on the cross even for our diseases. And because of his stripes, we can say we are healed. And may God give wonders and good experiences of healing as we linger at the cross. There's a place for all of us. A songwriter says there's room at the cross for you. Many have come. Many have received relief at the cross, but there's room at the cross for you and me even today. Remember that. Often the place, maybe our place, your place, is empty at the cross, and we miss out on tremendous blessings. Because there are so many blessings that God wants us to claim as we go to the cross.